Hello, everyone. You are listening to the John and Joe Show podcast. My name is John Kerr, publisher of the Kerr Report newsletter. I'm joined now by the Joe portion of the John and Joe Show, proud Mundelein Mustang, Northern Illinois Husky, Daily Herald alum, and host for Ultimate Autographs. His name is Joe Aguilar. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you. And happy Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day weekend. No sports on Memorial Day, right? On Monday? The guy who's our guest today would know. I should know this, but now that I'm kind of out of the loop, you know, not working for the Daily Herald, I lose track of my dates. But there's no sports on Monday, are there? It's Matt Trohop. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, no, there's always, I should say, sports on Memorial Day. We never take Memorial Day off, so.
Yeah, there's probably some baseball maybe, Matt, or
yeah, anyway. In a traditional year, we'd be playing a lot of softball and baseball and soccer, you know, regionals and sectionals and all that. But I'm sure there's probably still some regular season stuff that'll be going on this year.
Yeah, certainly plenty of things going on here this spring. That's what we wanted to have Matt on to discuss. Again, Matt Trohar, Assistant Executive Director for the Illinois High School Association. He's the guy who is really in charge of communications, a lot of public relations, dealing with guys like us, Joe and I, who I know are pains in the butts. And, you know, back in the day when Joe would, you know, send late night emails about things from for various articles, and Matt always responsive. And one thing about Matt is he's always a visible guy at events, whether it be the basketball tournament. I know he's also in charge of lacrosse, which happy to have that going on again this year. And we'll get into that with Matt here in our conversation here today. First question, Matt, is a little bit of news you want to ask you kind of off the top here, and which is regard to data as it relates to a COVID survey that the Illinois High School Association did for, I believe, 11 winter sports, which would be basketball, you know, boys and girls, and swimming and diving, I think bowling and a few other ones. I know there is some data that has been released publicly. What can you share about that data and also plans kind of moving forward with that information?
Sure. Yeah. So as you said, you know, we put together in conjunction with our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee a 10-question survey that we sent out to all of the coaches that we played in our quote unquote winter season this year. And just to get some data on sort of how COVID impacted their season, you know, whether or not they had student athletes test positive, whether they had coaches, and then if they had contact tracing data, you know, what that data sort of told us in terms of if there was any spread intra-team or within their own team, things of that nature. And the data itself was very helpful. It was our first go around with a survey like this, and we plan to continue to do this moving forward. But as we analyzed it, there were some sort of data points, I'd say, that we might have missed that first time around. And so we weren't completely comfortable with releasing it publicly at that point in time. We didn't want to make folks feel like we were trying to mislead them just to make a point, a positive point on our behalf. You know, we did share it with the Illinois Department of Public Health, and we are still reviewing it. And I think as you mentioned, our executive director, Craig Anderson, has sort of been on record and quoted some of the numbers from that. And so it wouldn't surprise me if we do choose to release that in full here coming up. But I can just kind of tell you just some of the things that we gleaned from it was that, you know, in terms of intra-contest of two teams coming together and playing, the number of positive cases that occurred from, you know, from Team A, someone on Team A having it and someone from Team B testing positive were less than 3%. So they were very, very low. And we also saw that a lot of the contact tracing that occurred, that it was when teams had to be shut down because of that or had to quarantine, the majority of that, of like those contact tracing was not from, did not originate within their sports team. It generally came from school or some other outside event. So again, we felt like the data was very positive in terms of, you know, allowing high school sports to be played and to continue. Just weren't quite at the comfort level yet to release it all publicly, but I think that could be coming soon.
A Matt, with what you can share, is there anything that when you saw the results that surprised you, either positively or negative, or was it kind of what you thought you might see when you got the returns?
You know, I think we were going to be a little surprised regardless. I think we weren't quite sure where some of those numbers and percentages would be. You know, I think the number of schools, and it's one of the things that's hard to glean from it is, you know, there's a lot of them don't have the contact tracing data. So it's hard to tell, and something we need to dig a little deeper on is, you know, was it just not available to that coach? Did this, you know, was it not done? Is it something they just can't share publicly? So that was some of the information that we didn't have and would like to have more of, I think, to further prove some of our points and our belief that high school is probably the safest way to be playing sports right now.
And Matt, a follow-up on that too, there have been some independent studies done separate from the IHSA, specifically the Illinois High School Basketball Association, which did something, I think, from their contact days in the fall, not from the season, because they didn't know there was going to be a season at that time. And that data showed very, very similarly. I think some of the numbers in terms of the spread of it, positive cases, and I think certainly, which is more, I think, current now, which is an issue moving forward, is the contact quarantines. Right. And the disparity between and school absences, kids missing school due to contact quarantines and who are otherwise healthy, not having positive tests. So it, without sharing, I know you said you still want to review the data, share it with the IDPH. And things are still changing rapidly in regards to what data I think we know what we need to know. And also as we move to phase five here, right? So June 11th, the state will open up. And this is something the governor has announced, assuming that happens on June 11th. But everybody's thinking about the fall sports season. This is a positive trend, correct, in terms of being able to get the sports schedule on time. We know camps are beginning very quickly. I mean, right after the summer sports ends, you got football camps starting up, like almost the next week. So I would think that these are all positive signs, at least the data, you know, what you've mentioned publicly, that, and I know Craig Anderson has said this, that you're confident things will be able to start on time and be able to have full seasons in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. As of right now, you know, we fully believe and expect that we're going to be on a normal IHSA schedule next year. And as you said, that, you know, that creates some issues with some of these sports running later and then turning around having the summer camps right away. But, you know, we think that's something that coaches and schools can kind of manage locally and, you know, they may choose to cut back a little bit on some of that and maybe provide a little more rest and relief for their athletes. But yeah, based on the way everything is going from the phase five to all the data, yeah, everything is very positive from our perspective and we are expecting, you know, we say a normal school year. I don't think it's going to be completely quote unquote normal, but we are expecting to be on our standard IHSA calendar for 21-22.
And Matt, we've almost made it through this bizarre 2021 high school season. 3 weeks left basically before I think baseball is still the final one to go, right? That weekend of ending on June 19th, I believe it is. 3A boys are going to be for us here anyway, locally, Schaumburg 4A boys baseball in Joliet. Softball is coinciding that weekend as well. Where are we with the spring sports? And knock on wood, everything has been going pretty smoothly. Then yes, with the quote unquote summer sports.
Yeah, so we've crowned some state champions here over the last handful of weeks here. We had boys gymnastics. We had our bass fishing. Girls and boys water polo is going on. We started quarterfinals last night at Fenwick High School, and they'll continue to host through the weekend. Then we'll have boys tennis, and then we really get into the super busy end of the year in mid-June there where we're going to have softball, baseball, boys and girls lacrosse, track and field, girls soccer, and boys volleyball. So we've been doing a lot of our seeding with coaches here over the last week or so and getting those tournaments set up. And, you know, depending on, you know, softball and baseball are larger, more teams participating. So they're they're going to be getting underway. But yeah, all the postseason stuff is just about ready to go. And it's a crazy time for our office, and the setup this year has made it even crazier for our athletic directors in our school. So we feel for them and appreciate them.
Hey, Matt, are you guys still working remotely? Are you guys back in the office? What's the situation at the HSA?
Yeah, we've been back in the office for quite some time, actually. I think it was shortly after the new year, we kind of went to a split shift where half our staff came in, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and then the next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And the date's not coming to me now, but for quite a while, we've had our full office back in. So that's been nice.
Our guest is Matt Troha, Assistant Executive Director of the Illinois High School Association. We are discussing the summer spring sports calendar, as well as a recent survey the IHSA did, COVID-related for winter sports. Again, John Kerr, Joe Aguilar here, the John and Joe Show podcast rolls on here on a Thursday. And Matt, one other very relevant and popular conversation topic is mask wearing as it comes to sports. And I know back in April, even before then, I think when we had Stacey Lambert on, there was news that had come out that the IHSA, at least with guidance from the IDPH, had relaxed some of the mask wearing guides for some of the low risk sports, you know, baseball, softball, those types of sports. Then a couple of days later, the IDPH changed. They sort of wiped that clean and decided to made these adjustments. I think confused a lot of people and removed that from their guidance. What can you say currently, right now, with the summer sports period? What sports are required to wear masks and which ones are not?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I just want to – what you just touched on there about the language is added and then taken out of the all sports policy. And, you know, that caused a little confusion for us. But we did get clarification from IDPH at that point in time because we had a lot of our schools look at it and say, hey, this was in here and now it's gone. And we did get, you know, verbal confirmation from them that we should still proceed under that plan. So that's how we've done it. So yeah, it's really any sport where social distancing can occur during actual play. So tennis and softball and baseball, they are not currently wearing masks. Lacrosse is because of not only the social distancing, but it's also a bit of a higher risk sport. The girls is considered moderate and boys the higher risk. Track and field, they will not wear them when they're racing. And really that goes for any sport, right? If in baseball and softball, when you're in the dugout, you're supposed to have the mask on any of the times when you're not competing. But soccer, lacrosse, and then volleyball all still remain in masks. And that is based on the risk level, because volleyball, soccer, girls lacrosse all considered moderate and boys lacrosse considered high risk.
Matt, where does the IHSA stand? And maybe we don't know yet what's going to happen here. And piggybacking off the mask wearing, where, you know, you're seeing obviously a lot of professional sports leagues now where they're allowing now or on the cusp of allowing, you know, fans in, no masks, as long as you're vaccinated. How is the IHSA going to regulate this going forward? Let's jump ahead in what football starts in 3 months, all right, or 2 or 3 months. As far as can people be allowed to go into their local high school stadium mask-free and sit next to people, or are you going to have show somehow proof of that you were vaccinated and show your card at the gates? How's that going to work possibly?
Yeah, that's going to be kind of a mixture of guidance from IDPH as well as local decision-making by schools. And I think you hit on one of the good points there is that you know, first off, we've got attendance up to 60% capacity at these outdoor events, which is, you know, that's been great in terms of, you know, just really freeing up the ability for people to attend these events. And for a lot of our spring sports, especially playing this late into June when school's out, you know, 60% is going to be plenty, and you know, be able to house the capacities that we expect, but. You know, as we look to the fall and you think about maybe a Friday night football game, you know, the IDPH, let's say they do provide the guidance that masks don't have to be worn or that, you know, vaccinated folks don't have to wear masks. that can create a pretty difficult situation for our schools, right? To be able to check that and to come up with an efficient system. So it wouldn't shock me if the state guidance is vaccinated folks don't have to wear masks. If from a school level, if that's difficult to implement, it might be that they still do ask some people to wear masks, even if they are vaccinated. So I think it's going to be that mixture may create different situations based on what school, whose game you're attending or what district you're in. So I think it's still going to be a little bit of hit and miss depending on where you're at and who you're going to see play. And as we get into to fall sports.
It's just going to be so tough on high schools to police this. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then you're going to have the guy who's going to fight back. Well, I'm not vaccinated, but I'm going to sit with my friends. It's not like you're going to have 50 security people at Palatine High School or, any high school in the state. This is just going to be real difficult and unfair, I think, to high schools, right?
I think it has the potential to be. Hopefully, I think all we can do is just kind of hope that that there is guidance that makes it easier on everybody. And it's just hard to say right now if that'll happen or not.
Sure.
And Matt, is there plans for future surveys? I mean, the one thing that I think we're realizing as we've worked through now, certainly 15 months now, almost into the virus, or at least when the state tournament, or maybe 14 and a half months or so, right, when the state tournament got canceled back in 2020, when the Real and then the spring sports season got canceled. There's enough data now to sort of get a sense of kind of where we are, and you can certainly go to the IDPH website and see where things are with the positivity rates and hospitalizations, and the fact that the governor has stated the June 11th return to June 11th of phase five with a full reopening. But as even the information that you have, I think, on this winter sports data, it's easy probably for you to go back and say, well, geez, I wish you would have asked that, right, or that, or that's sure. Now relevant. I mentioned earlier about the contact quarantines and the number of students who have just missed school, I think, due to these quarantine guidelines and their inability to be able to get that revised. There are some counties where you can go from 14 days to 10 days. Or even to 7 days, but there are some counties that don't let you do that. So the disparity in terms of some of these guidelines, you guys can't control what these counties do individually. But if you realize too that that there really is a data gap and how important it is to get this information out to just to the public and the importance to try to combat still some of the fear-based information out there, but there's variants out there. We have to worry about this or that. Well, no, here is objective data that shows in our state, this is what happened. Is that something that you're still moving forward after the winter, maybe even after the spring survey, the summer, consistently releasing data after every single sports season?
Well, yeah, that is absolutely our hope, and we will survey all of our spring coaches here, probably in about 3 or 4 weeks when we wrap up these seasons. And as I said, we'll refine that survey a little bit from the winter to provide some of the data we think was missing. I think you're absolutely right. And you're hitting on some points here that hit me both on a professional and then a personal level. I recently was elected to my local school board. And, these are the discussions that we're having, the differences in the by county and how long that you have to be out, whether it be 10 or 14 days, and, whether we can use CDC guidance versus state guidance. At the end of the day, there's a lot of folks that call the IHSA office and ask me to say, hey, my son has been out of school for 8 days and he feels fine. Can he go play a baseball game? I say, man, I'm a communications major. All right. I can't speak to you on that. We got to refer to the health department and the experts on that. And so we understand the frustration when you have the same data out there, but these different rules. And, it's just something I think that we've sort of learned to live with. We continue, I think, to provide all the data that we can that we think supports our position with IDPH, whether that be information we've gathered within our state here or from our surrounding states. We're members of a national group, the NFHS, that does a great job, I think, of getting data from us nationally, from all the state high school associations. So we'll continue to share that. And you know, in some cases, I think we've it's been effective in creating change within IDPH. You know, they've listened to us on some of the risk levels in sports and things like that, and adapting some things. And certainly we think we could go further in other situations, but you know, we'll continue to just try and be a conduit to with IDPH and advocate for our student athletes and coaches and try to create the best situations and scenarios possible. But I think, as you alluded to, at the end of the day, you know, the health departments are the ones that are going to make most of those decisions.
Matt, I have to laugh when you said, hey, I'm a communications major. I can't tell you about, you know, whether your son's going to be okay if you go back to school or go to a baseball game, whatever. But because I use that same line, I'm like, hey, I don't do my taxes. I don't do the plumbing. I'm a communications major. I went to NIU. You went to Monmouth. But truth be told, you are a success story, Matt. I mean, you know, you've been with the IHSA in that role as assistant executive director since, 2008? You've had an interesting career path. I know you played, you were a Joliet Catholic guy, played on a state title team as a senior in 99, but went to Monmouth, done some newspaper work, right? You was the Monmouth, I wrote it down here, the Monmouth Daily Review Atlas, did some sports stringing for the Chicago Tribune. I know you got your master's at Marion up in Wisconsin, but yeah, as a guy who's was in the business and media for 30 years, you know, a lot of young people always ask, you know, the key to getting into the business, or, you know, what's it like and what's the keys. What do you tell young people? I know you're in a different role now, but essentially you're still working, you're in the media business, so to speak. What do you tell young people who want to get into this? And I know, look, I was joking with John before we went on that, you know, the industry has changed so much since I used to write with a chisel and a hammer back when I started. But there's still a lot of common things that apply today as far as maybe work ethic or what you need to do. What do you tell young people who might want to pursue a communications degree or get into sports media, whether it be in PR or journalism, sports journalism or news or whatever?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, our office, if folks aren't aware, we're in Bloomington, Illinois. So we've got Illinois State University and Illinois Wesleyan in our backyard, and both have sports management program. So we get a lot of interns from their office. And, you know, one of the things I always tell folks is just one of the things you just touched on is work ethic, is be willing to get your hands dirty. And also just take advantage of any experience that you can. You know, I knew a lot of people. I sort of started going the journalism route and then kind of pivoted to college sports information. And I came across and met a lot of people in that time who were sort of like had the mentality of, I only want to do this if I can be at, you know, a Big Ten school or a Division I school or Power Five school, and kind of filter it out because those opportunities didn't come up. And the best experience I had is I went and worked as a sports information director for the Midwest Conference, a Division III conference up in Wisconsin. We were a two-man operation, the commissioner and myself. And being in that role, I was the SID, but so many responsibilities just rolled downhill to me. And I got so much good experience, you know, having to do NCAA rule interpretations and things like that. And it made me a really well-rounded individual. And when this opportunity came open at the IHSA, I was well-prepared. But, you know, I always just tell people, at tournaments, you will see me filling coolers and you will see me, you know, selling programs or taking tickets, whatever needs to be done. You know, that's just kind of our mentality. We're a relatively small office. We have 10 administrators. You know, when you think about 800 schools and 400,000 student athletes, you know, we're relatively small. So we wear a lot of hats. We kind of count on each other to pick each other up, to help at tournaments and just do whatever needs to be done. And I think that mentality and that willingness to just dive right into anything, whether you're comfortable with it or not, is super helpful. And, you know, there are skills and things to develop, like being able to write kind of, you know, at this point in time, if you can do video, if you know how to use social media, I think all those are positives, but a lot of that can be learned and refined. And I think a lot of it just really starts with, like I said, with the right mentality.
Yeah, it's a great answer, and I'm totally on board with what you're saying. You know, hey, sometimes you got to make the coffee run. Go do it. You know, you'll do it. You'll have other big responsibilities. Don't think I got coffee today. What kind of job am I at? It's like embrace it all, right? There are certain things you're going to learn from every task, and I only say that half jokingly about the coffee run, but right, sometimes you're filling water coolers. It doesn't mean that's what you're doing all day, and that's how you earn your money. But great response. Thanks for answering that.
Yeah, thank you for calling me a success.
Yeah, no, Matt, no, that is great advice. And no, absolutely. I mean, as somebody who lives close to and has a lot of friends over at Carmel Catholic, they would hate to hear me say that about you. You know, Matt, we're complimenting a jolly Catholic guy, right? You think about the rivalry back in the day, sure, between the Corsairs and the Hilltoppers, as Joe knows, going back to Gordy Gillespie and Coach Sharp and Andy Bitto and all those guys back in the day. So our last few minutes here with Matt Trojas, Assistant Executive Director of the IHSA. We're talking about, you know, just the current state of things with the State Series coming back here in the summer. We're also talking about some surveys. Also, a little bit of Matt's background, who, again, gave a great answer about the importance of putting your – again, that's one thing about – the great thing about the journalism business, Joe and Matt, is you get to actually do it before anybody gives you permission to do it, right? I mean, you don't wait for somebody to give you permission. I mean, it's if you want to go into law or medicine, you gotta get licensed. Right. I mean, somebody actually has to hand you, say, here you go. Now you can go open up somebody and pull an appendix out. In media communications, you're able to do it really before maybe you're ready for it. But that's, I think, is certainly a great positive point. Thing. And Matt, in light of the last 14 months that the Illinois High School Association has been through, I could probably ask this question to any communications director of every state association all over the country, but knowing that what happened with COVID was completely unexpected and had no time to prepare, and dealing with all of the factions involved with this, with public health policy and politics. You talk about having to learn learned skills, right, and managing people and all the information flow. Is there anything that you would look back and say we could have done this differently with the information that maybe we know now? Because I just think that there's, and I myself have been critical of decisions that the IHSA has made, sure, also knowing that you did not sign up for this. I'm also critical of schools administrators, knowing that their job isn't to contact trace. That's not what they got into administration for, education for. But looking back at this now, just reflecting on it, how would you answer that question about anything, certainly some things you did well, but some things going, maybe we didn't do so well?
Yeah, there's so many things, and it's probably one of those situations where at the end of the year, you'll really look back, and probably in 3 years, look back and have a better idea of the full picture of where we're at. But you know, certainly, there are certainly things that I think we could have done. And, one thing I continue to question in my mind and is wonder, should we have flipped some of those seasons? Should we have played some of these low-risk sports in the fall? Some of it was outside our hands. You know, I think one of the great frustrations of it was watching some of the other states be able to play, you know, football in the fall and things like that we were not able to. And obviously that was just outside of our hands. And I don't know if there's anything we could have done in that regard that would have changed it. In terms of diving into a lot of the specifics, it's not hitting me at this point in time. I know that, right, to ever say that you're perfect or you couldn't improve on things would be disingenuous. So I know that, as we reflect back on it after, like I said, this year and probably more in the future, and think, you know, what if we ever deal with a situation like this again, what are we going to change? And I think we'll begin to have those conversations and implement those plans. And hopefully we're passing that down the road to the IHSA staff in like 99 years or something like that. This is a every 100 year type thing, and we don't have to worry about it again. But certainly there's a lot of lessons to be learned.
Well, hey, you guys have been in a difficult spot all year. I mean, you're following, like you said, we're not doctors. We're following the IDPH, and we're following what we're told and trying to make the best decisions for kids, basically, right? I mean, that's what it's all about, and their experience as high school student athletes. So you guys are in a tough spot. We appreciate you coming on. We've had other people from the IHSA on, and I know you guys, look, I'm sure you get a lot of daggers thrown your way, but you probably also know that comes with the territory. But we appreciate what you guys have done, and right, what company, what organization can't look back and say, maybe we could have done this differently with our business. Or, well, maybe we could have done that. Maybe we were too cautious, if that's possible. But, you know, I have empathy for what you guys are going through. And I know John will echo this. We appreciate you coming on with us this morning here on the pod.
Oh, yeah. Glad to do it anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, Matt, before we let you go, you've got 11 state series here this summer season. Some you said have already been done, have already been crowned champions. We've got several more here coming up in the next 3 weeks. You mentioned the spectator limit, and you will follow that limit, which I believe certainly will be in place. And although on June 11th, I suppose, right, for some of these later state tournaments, it might be full capacity. I suppose, right? Or are the way the spectator limits are now, will those be in place for the rest of the entire summer state series? I mean, you know, for the state series that finish after June 11th?
No, you know what? I mean, we're going into it with the expectation it's going to be 60%, but we do believe that it could be expanded on June 11th, or, you know, I think there's potential that maybe that's delayed. We just don't really know, but we believe that, yeah, there is a possibility that could be expanded even further by on or after the 11th.
Yeah, Joe, that sounds like a very reasoned, rational answer by Matt, which is we just don't know. I mean, that's sort of like the answer to so much of this, right? Well, we're waiting for guidance. I mean, we hope to know, but we might not. You know, that's just I totally understand, Matt, what those answers are, and we didn't get a chance, and I wouldn't expect you to answer these questions anyway publicly, but about that relationship with the Illinois Department of Public Health, which, you know, has been challenging, and I believe your executive director has said that publicly as well, some of the challenges in the communication flow as well, but navigating through this. But again, I know personally, even as a fan, being able to go to a regional baseball game and whether it's lacrosse, a sport that I played, I coached, love it, but baseball, and just being able to go out on a nice day and sit and watch high school sports outside, unmasked, okay, Matt, as long as we keep socially distanced, but it is such a sense of normalcy, and just a sense of we're back as just a society and as a culture. I imagine that's the feedback you're getting as well from people. And you, I know you also handle lacrosse, right? That's one of your duties. Being able to go to that tournament and be able to run that for those couple of days has just got to be something that you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, my daughter is 9 years old and had a softball game last night. And as I got there, as they were doing warm-ups, Tri-Valley and Tremont were playing a softball game on the high school field, and I walked over and watched that. And you're right, it just felt, for the first time in a long time, it just felt normal. And I where I live in Hayworth, I get out to quite a few baseball and softball games. So, yeah, it really just the ebbs and flows of your life are just it just feels better having those events in there. And yeah, I am incredibly excited for lacrosse. You know, it was kind of, for a while there, if folks aren't aware, we were going to be able to play girls lacrosse, but not boys lacrosse. And that was kind of eating me up inside, that the possibility of trying to explain to people, to those coaches and those athletes, that we're going to go play this girls lacrosse tournament and not this boys lacrosse tournament would have been an incredibly difficult thing to do. So was glad that our board said, hey, in conjunction with Faith Fives, we're going to go and play this tournament. So that was a relief, and yeah, now it just turns to excitement. It'll be fun to, after missing last year, to get those events played and crown those state champions.
And I'm glad you mentioned one last thing here with the lacrosse. I did a story last summer, probably right around this time last year, about with lacrosse still growing as an IHSA sport, how the COVID, after we knew it was going to be wiped out, all the spring sports were going to be wiped out last year, how it might affect lacrosse going forward. I think one coach told me he thought it would just be a hiccup, and hopefully that growth of that sport just continues, you know, to pick up where it left off this year in 2021. And I think that's it's too fun of a sport, and there's a lot of benefits to lacrosse. A lot of kids can play. A lot of kids can run around and hit people and throw a ball into a net. And you know, it's just a fun sport. I think it'll continue to grow here in Illinois. Yes.
Yeah, and I would say I was worried about that as well. What the not only losing last season, but I was worried about the multiple seasons being played this year. That maybe there'd be kids, maybe a football player who says, due to the spring season, I'm just going to pass on lacrosse this year. You know, just worry about next school year, and maybe that would hurt some rosters. But I think we've only had maybe two or three schools on the boys' side that I can think of who decided this year to just play a JV level due to some lower numbers. And so, yeah, we've seen a lot of growth in lacrosse in just 3 years, and I think it's just going to keep on coming. And where we have been hurt, though, is on the officiating side. So if you're a former lacrosse player, you know, we need lacrosse officials. So I'd encourage you to get involved. Or if you're a basketball official or another sport, they always say that basketball tends to, the officiating aspect, it carries over the easiest to lacrosse. But if you're an official in any sport and don't do a spring sport right now, you know, give some consideration to it. It's a great workout. And as you said, it's a fun and fast paced sport to be a part of.
Yeah. No doubt. Remember we had Sam Knox on and Sam was, yeah, who I know who runs basketball, wrestling, right, and was concerned about that. And that's been an issue for a number of years now, certainly, in regards to the officiating. Joe, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I was just going to say, I wrote about this too last year, because the other side with this throw with the officials, that could be another 20-minute conversation. But with a lot of these guys like me, graybeards, you know, and that higher risk, a lot of guys didn't want to come back. I talked to a lot of referees about that. But with lacrosse, now you throw in the fact that a lot of guys in the Midwest here living in Illinois didn't play lacrosse, don't know the sport. You might know – I get basketball. I get football. I played it growing up, and I can officiate that sport, even if I had wanted to do that. But now you're talking all these reasons why people don't want to officiate, and then you got a sport that's relatively new, at least in Illinois, or not as big as it is out east, that they don't know the rules. They don't know the game. And now they're going to go officiate and deal with parents who are going to be down there, jumping down their backs for everything. So I understand it and makes sense. It's just, that's also just another, one more thing we got to get through and make finding more officials, whether it's the other sports or certainly lacrosse. So thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Matt, that'll do it, man. We appreciate it. I know we've said goodbye to you probably three times here so far. So this is the final one, I promise you. Thanks again for your time. And, hey, really, again, appreciate all the work you do. For folks listening to this podcast, don't really understand what Matt does, his level of professionalism over the years in supporting a much smaller media contingency, as I'm sure Matt knows now, of what's happened in the industry over the past few years, but does a tremendous job responding to things, and also hearing that he's on his school board where he lives, which is tremendous to hear. And it will give, I'm sure, perspective to his day job, right? And I'm sure that will help you inform you as a school board member, as a lot of important decisions to be made here in the coming months as it relates to schools in local communities. So again, Matt, we appreciate you coming on, and we will be in touch.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Matt. Continued success, man.
All right. Take care, fellas.
Thanks.
All right. That's Matt Trohan with the Illinois High School Association. And really good information, Joe, I think, on a couple takeaways from our conversation with Matt, which is one, I think just the survey results, which I know is not I think that information was not quite at a point where they want to release that completely publicly yet. Cause I did not have a release on that information, but it was still good news in relation to COVID transfer within sports, and is online with most of these types of surveys. And secondly, I think what Matt talked about, which I think was really interesting, was how we asked them some tough questions about masking and that moving forward, and just how the IHSA has been put in a position to have to juggle so many different things, I think, over this this past year, and having to deal with a political sphere and a public health sphere, which hasn't always been cooperative, and them not always understanding the decisions that are made, which are not transparent from that side of thing, meaning political public health. And also I think giving them a lot of credit for getting these sports done, Joe, and getting to the finish line here. We still got a couple of weeks left to go here, but getting to the finish line with these sports and at least getting a state series here in the spring for the sports that did not play at all in 2020.
Yeah, I give them credit. I know they're an easy target. And I'm sure if we could have more off the record conversations with that, whether it be Matt or we had Sam Knox on, and who else we had on, John?
Stacey Lambert.
Thank you, Stacey Lambert. You know, they're in a tough spot, and they're not going to come on a podcast and say something. I'll tell you what I really think. We get it, but I thought all of them have done a really good job of articulating the Atchison's point of view and trying to. Look, you're not, as we know as journalists, you're not going to please everybody, right? But they're in a tough spot, and I do think they deserve credit here for getting these state series for these quote-unquote summer sports, other than wrestling, which would be an issue. But again, hopefully it's back to normal in the fall. But I still think we're going to have issues because it's always going to be a pushback, and we'll see where we are and. It's going to be different, like you said, high school to high school, district to district. Their rules are going to be different than your rules. So potentially, so that's it will be something to look interesting to look at and see how that develops too. Once August arrives.
Yeah, and I would be. This is just a slight criticism of the IHSA here in regards to the survey results. Which is release it. I mean, it has been released, so it's out there. So maybe they're having to do a little bit of reacting here to the information as opposed to, presenting it in the way with which they would have preferred to have done so. But there are still simply not enough data that has, at least in this particular state, that has been available that fits. Which we already know right now, based on enough information that we know, whether it be anecdotal or just what's the results of these seasons, which is sports can be played safely in this state. And as the virus is going to be with us moving forward, but we know that sports is not a super spreader of these events, of the virus. That when there were outbreaks, it was of a non-sports nature. Then it was kids in their basement playing video games after a baseball game or a basketball game, or the pizza parties afterwards. There is still no data that shows that the actual playing of sports, basketball, football, whatever it is, all that nonsense that the governor was talking about in the fall about sweat and saliva, all that fear-based BS he was spewing, simply isn't true. And if it was, we would know that by now because there's enough yes. sports have been played right. to have, and that would have been tracked, and we would know that by now. So sports,
well, especially football, especially
yeah,
football,
yeah, especially you know, football. Without
it just what 2 months removed almost from football now. I mean, since the end of the 2021 spring football season, that would have been if it was spreading, we would have known week one after week yeah. one, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Without doubt.
And it just wasn't happening in bulk, So let's go already. Let's be honest too. When you're at an outdoor high school game, how many people are standing in the same spot all game anyway for 2 hours? Very few. People are moving around. People can't. It's not like there where high schools have 20,000. Seat stadiums where people are just all sitting there and 3 feet apart or whatever. People are moving around. We can do this effectively. It always sounds like we're COVID bashers. We're not believers. Like if you listen to this podcast, we're not those guys. We're not the haters. It's a fake. But we, as you've said repeatedly, and no one's you know, been doing a better, again, I say this all the time to you, not just because you're my podcast partner, but no one's done a better job of articulating this and looking at this from all different angles and doing factual based articles than you, John. But show me the data and let's not drop this all in the kids' laps and pretend just because a lot of people gather together at an outdoor sporting event that that's where it's going to happen and kids are in close contact. So I'm done.
And as you move to phase five, which we are in June 11th, as we asked Matt about how that will impact whatever the last weekend of the state series, it should be full capacity. You know, that there's no reason why it shouldn't be full capacity. But moving forward in the summer and the camps, and I think you asked a really good question about the vaccine passports, and that's still muddled. I don't think he, yes. I don't think he doesn't really know specifically how that's going to work. And we are heading towards, as we get to the fall, the two biggest, or actually there's you know, three issues in my opinion in regards to sports and certainly education, school, which is the mask mandate and what will schools do regarding masks in school. Three is contact quarantines. What are they going to do about contact quarantines? And I know there are studies going on where there is movement to loosen the in-school contact quarantines, meaning if there's a close contact within in-person school, the not quarantining that particular student if that happens within in a classroom. There's a pilot program happening here in Lake County where schools at least are admitting that they are looking into this information. They're sitting on this data, but nobody's doing anything with it. So at least there are some, you know, we'll see what that results in terms of moving forward. The third aspect of it is passports and vaccine passports and allowing entrance into school or sporting events. Will you have to show a passport in order to, or sorry, vaccine passport or a vaccine card of some kind in order to access, you know, schools? Joe, we're far from this thing being resolved.
Right.
I think it is resolved in the sense that, hey, in-person school is going to happen. You know, it's going to be 5 days a week. That's already been mandated. I think, you know, schools have already come out and said that they will comply with that. But the full restrictions where you and I can walk into a gymnasium unmasked and just be able to show our media credential and sit down with 1,000 other screaming crazy fans watching a game, will that happen in the fall? Remains to be seen.
Well, another thing too is there's so many logistics issues I see with the vaccine passport for a high school game. So let's just say Friday night football, pick a high school, you people with the vaccine and your passport, what are you going to show that like the hello, my name is sticker? And then you have to be ushered and herded to this part of the stadium. But my kid plays for this team. I don't want to say that, but you have to be on this side. And then, you know, people are going to be mingling and what are you going to have? Like, yeah, 40 security people monitoring all this?
No, there's no way. It was this conversation you and I had about spectators and about how, remember, there was a spectator limit initially and how you had, road schools or schools that were not allowing road fans. And the concern would be, were you going to have military police out there making sure people don't show up to these parking lots and turning them away? I think that was, with the exception of the North Suburban Conference, most conferences begin to loosen those restrictions as they go. The first week it was experimental. We'll see how it goes. Then we will figure things out. But I think it was more on the side of, we want fans in our stadiums. We want fans in our gymnasiums. That was the 95%, I think, of administrators, I think, had that mindset. There were some who did not and still do not. But most of them do. So it's the same thing kind of moving forward. It's the enforcement of it. And I mean, I got my second dose last week, and so I've got my card. You know, I could easily give that away to somebody, and somebody can make 50 copies of it and show it at a high school sporting event, Joe, and say, sure, John Kerr, wait, how many John Kerrs have I seen today? How many
Joe Hill? Driver's license, that credit card.
Right. No, that's the There's no way. There's
these
no way.
High schools are understaffed as it is on Friday nights pre-COVID. Come on.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how these schools, again, it could be just the old cosmetic theater, Joe, where the bark is worse than our bite. We will say this for the purposes of legalities or abundance of caution, but in practice, there will be no enforcement, as we're seeing at these graduation ceremonies.
Right.
We're seeing at some of these senior night events where, you know, the emails are going out to parents stating, hey, you must be masked. We have to socially distance. And then you see the photographs on social media where nobody has a mask on and everybody is just sitting there normally enjoying themselves. So
we just went through a graduation here in my house, as you know, and it was interesting, you know, afterward taking pictures because, you know, like I want pictures of my daughter with her teacher without the mask on, without her friends. So, fortunately, a couple of the teachers, you know, they were like, cool. They just took the mask off for the photo. There's nothing wrong with a 10-second photo, taking the mask off, but even the kids too, you know, taking pictures, maskless. That's what you want. We're all good. McHenry High School up here went back full session, like a lot of schools, you know, 5 days right after spring break. Everyone's good. Knock on wood.
That's right. And Joe, speaking of good, got Isabella through. So congrats on your beautiful daughter, Isabella, from graduating from McHenry High School last week. I know you had
I just stay out of the way. I just stay out of the way. Let my wife, be your head coach. And I just like a lot of things, John, in life, I just try to stay out of the way.
There's a reason why Joe has had a successful, happy marriage for 20 plus years.
Yes, dear. My father-in-law gave me that advice before I got married. And when you're in a jam, yes, dear, that works. You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with the spouse, but yes, dear will help save your marriage pretty much.
Yes, dear. It's not your fault. Right. Is that also probably?
That works.
That works. That works. Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, when you get married someday, when you get older, it's going to happen. You're going to find that out.
I don't know, man. Every year that goes by, the odds of that continue to decrease, man. I just get more stubborn and too entrenched, you know. I like my stuff, you know. I like my stuff. I really do.
You like your whiteboard on the wall. Come on.
I like my space. I like my space and my stuff. I know. I do not have any stuff on the wall. I'm going to go virtual, man, or like I said, hire. But yeah, send me like a Dave Winfield. Can you give me a Dave Winfield?
That'd be cool.
Related.
Dave Winfield guy?
Yeah, man. And I know as our podcast listeners can completely tune out now as we go down some rabbit hole memorabilia. We promise we will wrap this up here in a minute. Yes, as a young baseball fan growing up in Southern California in the late 70s, we were went to Jack Murphy Stadium quite a bit. As you know, are your formative years a fan? They come between the ages of probably 8 and 9, 10, maybe to 8 and 12, maybe 10 and 12, in terms of when you become a fan of a team. And so I've always been, I'm a Cub fan, but my heart is with the Padres from that time. And Dave Winfield was a star of that team. And the only thing worth watching, him and Randy Jones, Gaylord Perry one year was there. Had the old spitball Randy Jones, Gaylord Perry, and Dave Winfield, as we have.
Well, Dave Winfield, I knew he was the answer to this trivia question, and I'm looking it up now because I can't remember the teams. But, you know, he was drafted not only by MLB, he was also drafted as a football player and as a basketball player. Correct. Drafted by – hang on. Do you know this offhand, or do I have to look it up?
I believe it was the Vikings.
Or was it two sports? It was three sports, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got drafted in three sports. He got drafted in baseball, football, and basketball. I believe he's from Minnesota. I think he went to the University of Minnesota. But I don't remember. Maybe it was the Vikings just because he, you know, went to the University of Minnesota. But basketball, I don't know.
Well, I know he's 69 years old now. any longtime baseball fan, even if you're not a longtime baseball fan, you know who Dave Winfield is. But yeah, drafted. I want to say he was drafted by the Vikings and then an NBA team too. But how about that? We talk about, you know, Dion and Bo. Don't forget about that. Don't sleep on Dave Winfield.
Mr. May. Mr. May, as George Steinbrenner called him back when they signed him. Remember, he signed with the Yankees, and he called him Mr. May. So, all right, as Joe continues his internet search on Dave Winfield's draft status, we're going to wrap up the show here. Again, want to thank Matt Troha of the Illinois High School Association for hopping on for a while for a pretty lengthy interview, and we kind of did all across the board with Matt, kind of hit on all sorts of topics, and appreciate his candor and his time here on the John and Joe Show. We'll be back next week with another episode of the John and Joe Show. For Joe, I'm John. Say goodbye, Joe.
See ya.